allows you to collect your order whenever suits you.
Now, more men than women report that they've fallen victim to data breaches. 25% are targeted with daily spam emails, and one in every two people are targeted with spam calls or texts at least every month. Over a quarter, 27% of Irish people believe their personal data has been illegally shared or leaked. The survey of 1,000 adults nationwide commissioned by the Compliance Institute also found that people aged between 25 and 44 were most likely to confirm their data had been shared. I'm joined on the line, so I am, by the Chief Executive of the Compliance Institute, Michael Cavanagh, joins me. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith, and good morning to your listeners.
Thanks for joining us. Now, we're all getting spam texts and we're all getting spam emails, and we've got software hopefully there to keep us safe and all of that. But is it as a result of personal data being leaked?
I suppose two things are linked and they're separate, I guess. But
yeah.
The spam issue, I don't think people realise that when they're inputting their email into a website or perusing the internet, and any time they share their email, that they're leaving themselves open to receiving those spam emails, which, you know, you can be inundated with various junk mail. But then it gets more serious, of course, when the cyber criminal gets it and is trying to scam people. And I think what's interesting around the survey, and you've reamed off some of it there, but the high proportion that surprised me of people that are now getting spam calls as opposed to emails or texts, at 57%, which is high. 73% getting emails, but 57% is high, that people are switching to making those phone calls, disturbing phone calls.
Yeah, and just maybe fill me in on this one if you don't mind, because I'm around a long time. But if somebody, we know that there was a data breach and we know those problems in the HSE and all of that. But if somebody gets a bulk of data, you know, they've got this encrypted data or unencrypted data, whatever, how do they monetize it?
Well, I mean, one that I was subjected to recently, and a lot of people were over this side of the country, with the M50 scam and the text that came through, which was very, very convincing, and managed to catch people that had just gone through the M50. How they did that, nobody knows, I suppose. But it was a very convincing one, that you haven't paid your bill for some time and you're now due to pay €90. And I went, oh dear. But looked up the website and saw that the people, eFlow, that were running the M50 were able to tell people there's a scam going on. Mm-hmm. But I am aware of a number of people, including some of our members, who are compliance professionals, that were caught by it and parted with their personal details and lost up to €10,000 in one case.
Get away.
Yeah, they got access to the bank account. So that's the monetary side. If they can get your information in any way, they will use it.
And in that situation then, when you got that text, because when I get those texts, what I tend to do is I block them and delete them. Is that the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do?
I think that's the right thing to do in this particular case. And there's many other examples that people have. They're getting more convincing.
They are.
No, they really are. You know, they were easily spotted, I suppose, in the past by most people. But, you know, you literally had someone who had gone through the M50 toll and said, my card mustn't be working, and probably pulled over and did it on the spur. You need to take your time and go into the website and see what the website says and look at where it's coming from and all of that.
But again, going back to my question as to how do they monetize it? Do they sell it on to criminal elements? What do they do with it?
They can use it themselves or they can sell it on. We're not quite sure. The guards obviously have a handle on this, but certainly these are, as we know, professionals, many operating out of the Eastern European area, and they have very sophisticated systems set up, and this is their job, effectively. Mm. This is what they do.
Yeah, and I suppose it's about people just being cautious, and, you know, wonderful opportunities to make loads of money if you give me the 3-digit code behind your card and blah de blah de blah. I got one recently from Permanent TSB that looked very authentic, but I've never been a customer of Permanent TSB in my lifetime.
Yeah, but if you are a customer, it looks convincing, except message that, in fairness, the banks are giving out all the time is that we don't ask for your personal details ever over text or phone.
That's
the key. I mean, I do think, while, you know, systems are hacked. That's the HSE, as we know, is a very famous one here. But their system was hacked, and that's just life. That's just the way it was, and then personal data was taken. But there is an element of every one of us needing to take ownership of how we protect our data, and we can't always blame other people. Like, simple steps like taking adequate security and antivirus software on our laptops, regular password changes. We know it's a nuisance, but it's hugely important that we do that on a regular basis, because I think we're all guilty of using the same password for a number of things, and if it's leaked or gets out or somebody is able to work it out, they can try it on every single system. And again, getting back to your question, it gets into the wrong hands and they can use it and relieve you of your money.
Which is, and I know the banks are very good, mind you, at spotting it sometimes. You know, they'll spot, genuinely spot, that there's been different activities on your account and they might shut the account down. But they are quite good, and they're, even if you have been caught, I know certainly some banks, AIB being one of them, because we'd be a client of AIB, and they do their best to get the money back where possible.
Absolutely, yeah. I know. The banks, and that's, I suppose, where our members, the compliance professionals, come in. There's teams of compliance professionals and financial crime compliance specialists now. We've had a specialist qualification for that for some time, because it is an industry and a specialism in itself, and that is their role to try and keep ahead of the cyber criminals in this case.
Yeah. Again, it really is common sense, so it is. But it's common sense that you have to hammer home, Michael.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the message needs to be hammered home, and I think it would be useful if there was a government campaign or an advertising campaign, which there is already, but maybe to up that somewhat as this gets more sophisticated. That gone are the days, I think, that we can recognise a text or an email in broken English that isn't that credible. They now are very credible.
Mm. And again, if you've got elderly relatives or neighbours or otherwise, just keep an eye out for them as well, because they can be taken advantage of.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's younger people, 3 out of 10. In this survey that said their personal data had been illegally shared or leaked, with older people, the percentage is lower. And I think that's just the nature of older generation being more reluctant to share information, but absolutely, I think they wouldn't be, in some cases, as used to these things, and they are targeted, unfortunately.
There'd be a far more trust there than there would be in the younger generation. The younger generation don't trust, but the older generation would trust that everyone has been genuine.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, Michael Cavanagh, where can, as CEO of the Compliance Institute, where can they get further details on what we're talking about?
Our website, Keith, is compliance.ie, where they can get all the information on our various surveys and education courses and podcasts and various helps and guidance in this area.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. Compliance.ie for further details. Michael Cavanagh, CEO of the Compliance Institute.